on. That's right.
Bell, do do that voodoo that you do so well. You do something to me that nobody else could do. You do something to me, something that simply mystifies me. Tell me why should it be? You have the power to hypnotize me. Let me live neath your spell. Do-do, the voodoo that you do so well. You do something to me that nobody else.
I'm going to call the public engagement commission meeting for Wednesday, October 21st, 2019. Call to order. First thing on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand. Thank you. I don't see anyone from the public, so I'm assuming we don't have any public comment today, at least right now.
No public comment.
Thank you. We do have a presentation or introduction of our deputy city manager,
Christy. Do you mind if I go ahead and take roll?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, you're jumping ahead.
It's okay. Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Ibarra is absent. Commissioner Uribe?
Here.
Commissioner Mannion?
Here.
Vice Chair Bliss is absent. Chair Paz?
Here. Thank you. Now we can go to our introduction of our Deputy City Manager, Christy Schmidt. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Any questions, comments?
All I can say is welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Glad to have you on board.
Yes. We can move to item A2, Community Outreach Annual Update for fiscal year 2018-2019, where a recommendation is receive a presentation on the Community Outreach Annual Update.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, I know some of you, but for those I don't, I'm Jamie Shaw, Community Relations Assistant, and tonight I'm going to give you an update on the outreach that my department and the city has done in the last fiscal year. So just as a little recap, the department goals are to increase awareness, get citizens to participate, have community events, and we're targeting the 30,000 residents, 11,000 households, and 50,000 employees that come here daily. These are the different outreach modes that we use, and I'm going to go into detail into them later in the presentation, but basically we use a combination of them to help spread the word about community events like the dam dinner we had on Saturday, ribbon cuttings, groundbreakings, and meetings and workshops that are happening in the different departments. This is a list of websites that the city manages and also another way that we share information with the public. Later tonight, Deborah will be talking to you about the district elections, and that will be getting its own special URL as well that we'll be sharing information on. On the main website, many of you have probably had a chance to see it. The homepage is one way that we share information of anything very pertinent in the homepage slider, on the news section, and then we have the calendar of events for anything upcoming. We also have project pages within the website where we post information. This page gives some detail about the main cityofgoleta.org website. As you can see, the past fiscal year, there was over 113,000 users and 480,000 page views. So that tells us that they're visiting about 4 to 5 pages on average. And this is a large increase from last fiscal year. And I'm attributing that to the new library pages, which have seen a tremendous amount of traffic to them. The way people visit our website, you can see more than half come through desktop traffic, about a third through mobile, and the remaining 6% on a tablet. And what's interesting is year over year, desktop traffic goes down slightly and mobile traffic increases, mm-hmm. which is fairly consistent with how life is these right. days. The top 5 pages over the last fiscal year were the city's main homepage, the Goleta Valley Library homepage, the government meetings, agendas, and videos page, the Goleta Moves program, and the library events calendar. The Goleta Moves program stands for Monarch Overwintering Visual Experience Simulation, and this was a program that was created when people couldn't go to the Butterfly Grove to ensure that the students were still going to be able to be educated on the monarch butterfly. Okay, now for the city's social media. We have a Facebook page, which I hope you all follow. There's over 4,300 followers, and last year we did 963 posts. We also have a Damn Dinner Facebook page, but that's only active a couple months a year leading up to the event. And then our Twitter account has over 2,700 followers and 863 posts. Both Facebook and Twitter saw growth in our followers year over year and our posts. And one reason the posts have increased is because with all of our gov delivery messages, which I'll talk about in the upcoming slide, there's a way to post them to Facebook and Twitter so that all the information we send out is visible on our social media pages as well as in the email blast. Let's see, Nextdoor, there's over 6,700 members on Nextdoor in 27 neighborhoods. The city is able to post, but we can only see comments about the city if they're directed to us. So it's not like we can go into all the different neighborhoods and see what people are talking about unless we're a personal resident of that neighborhood. So this year we had 100 posts. And then YouTube, we are putting up videos there, and that's mainly our Facebook Live videos and State of the City. So this year we started doing Facebook Live, and mainly that was to show people the construction of the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park, because they were so excited, and we didn't want people hopping the fence. So we would go behind the fence and show them behind the scenes what was happening. And people really liked that, and then kind of archive it on YouTube so people can check it out anytime.
May I?
I use this thing.
You got it on.
Yes.
I have a question that I'm just unfamiliar with Nextdoor.
Oh, sure.
And I'm curious to know how we got to 27 neighborhoods. I mean, do we know anything about the designation of those neighborhoods, who decided what a neighborhood was? And
no, that's a great question. I actually don't. I can certainly look into it and follow up.
I know that when I used to work for the city of Santa Barbara for 21 years, mm-hmm. and I know that when they came to us, they asked for our input onto the neighborhoods. So some of it was coming from the cities, some came from community groups, but ultimately, I believe it was Nextdoor who made those determinations. But they were well thought out and researched determinations.
Huh. I'm just curious about that in light of our next big project, mm-hmm. the districting project, and what we think about those neighborhoods.
I don't think they would inform us in that regard. Uh-huh. The next door neighborhoods are more of smaller subsets of what
right.
we would be dealing with, and
right.
they're more attuned to. They are kind of like really smaller neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
like not in the bigger sense of like what we think about the western part of Goleta or Isla Vista or
right.
El Encanto or something like that, you know, along those lines. It's much smaller. So the neighborhood I belong to, because I belong to it next door as well, I'm part of that, is the area around Costco, Gersh Park.
Right.
Yeah. And then they have
yeah,
smaller abutting ones.
Right. I was just thinking out loud about what relationship there might be to those neighborhoods and to the districts that we would be interested in examining as we sort of go about our district business in the coming years.
Yep. Good question.
Yeah, good point. All right, Gov Delivery, it's the city's email and text notification system and allows people to sign up for topics of interest. We have over 30 topics you can choose from city council meetings, board and commission meetings, emergency information, the library, cannabis, zoning, Old Town, Public Works, pretty much anything you can think of, you can sign up to get the information that you want. And we have over 20,000 subscribers, and they, with a 2.83 average subscriptions per subscriber, people are signed up for about 2 to 3 subscriptions per person. Last year, the city in its entirety sent out over 377 messages over all of our 30 plus topics. And that led to 342,000 impressions and a close to 74% engagement rate. The impressions are the total number of bulletins opened, the total number of bulletin opens and clicks. And that is down slightly from last year, but the engagement rate is up. That's the percent of recipients who opened or clicked on a bulletin link within 90 days. Blackboard Connect, this is the city's phone notification system, and it also does email and text, but we mainly use it for phone notices, and it's reserved for emergencies and special events. So that has 16,000 recipients, and last fiscal year we sent out 10 notifications, and I'm happy to report none of them were for a natural disaster. So they were about our Beautify Goleta community cleanup events, and what's great about Blackboard is we can target specific neighborhoods. So not like next door where you have to pick the whole neighborhood, but the cleanup events are very specific streets, and you can actually target people who are registered in those streets to get the phone call. So you wouldn't be getting the phone call if you weren't in the neighborhood participating. We also do the phone call for when there's Halloween and Deltopia parking restrictions. And again, that's limited to just a certain neighborhood in Goleta. Mm-hmm. And then everyone gets the phone calls about the Old Town Christmas Parade because Hollister Avenue is closed in Old Town, so we want to alert people to that. And then the 4th of July, we're letting people know about the fireworks festival and making sure people are aware because of pet safety and things like that. And then the Monarch Press, this is our monthly e-newsletter covering a variety of topics. We have 2,600 email subscribers and just over 200 print subscribers. We're definitely trying to push people online so people can receive an email, and then all of the articles are archived on GoletaMonarchPress.com. And it's kind of interesting to look back and see what the top articles were last year. These received the most clicks from the email bulletin, and that was motorized scooters banned in Goleta, Goleta summer 2019 events, community survey results are in, now open, Old Town's newest park, no cost to compost, and City of Goleta homelessness efforts. And then this slide covers some of the other outreach that we do, which is through press releases. We had 28 of them last fiscal year, and they include things like ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings and when the city receives grants and awards. And then Channel 19 slides, we had 73, and these are scrolling on Channel 19 when meetings aren't playing. And they cover things like community events, like such as the Dam Dinner, and meetings and workshops that the city is hosting, and if there's any road closures that we know about. And then we had 31 public meetings, workshops, and events, and this includes things like the Goleta Valley Library Celebration, the State of the City, the new zoning ordinance workshops and open houses, energy plan workshops, and park enhancement meetings. And then getting to Spanish outreach. So this is something that we are working on and continuing to grow. We currently provide emergency information in Spanish, and we have a separate Gov Delivery list called Goleta en Español, and that has over 400 subscribers. This list receives the emergency information, as I just mentioned, and also any other information that we put out there in Spanish, such as when we had the grand opening of that new park in Old Town, the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. But we're excited to say that we now have a partnership with Isla Vista Youth Projects to really help us focus on Spanish engagement, and we are hoping to have them come talk to you at the October meeting. And what we'll be doing with that partnership is helping to build trust with the Spanish-speaking community, educating residents on what the city does and doesn't do, updating them on city projects, and hopefully increasing their involvement with the city. And that's it, so thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Any questions, comments?
So, I do have a question.
Sure.
So, about the YouTube channel, it's just the city that can post videos, mm-hmm. or another person, or?
No, we have an account so that we can log in and post any videos to it and then share a link.
And is it possible for people to take videos and send them to you?
I don't think that's something that we would want to put up on that our channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We are moving to item B1, approval of Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes for February 20th, 2019.
Who can remember?
Anyone have any additions, deletions, corrections? Ms. Massey.
I move we approve minutes as submitted.
Thank you. Do we have a second? No? Motion made, seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstentions? Thank you. We move on to item C, discussion item, district election preliminary overview. It's kind of exciting. Thank you.
Well, I think that would be me. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. So I'm here this evening to provide you with a preliminary overview of the district election process. But before I cover this process, I kind of just wanted to mention for the public's benefit, the viewing audience, that in 2017, as part of a conditional settlement agreement, the council adopted a resolution of intent to implement district elections by November 2022. The reason we say November 2022 is to allow the city to draw districts maps based on the 2020 census that is due to be released in March of 2021. Now, at that same meeting that the City Council adopted the resolution of intent, the City Council also established the Public Engagement Commission. And they prescribed the duties of that commission, which most of those duties have been accomplished already, so kudos to you. Among the remaining goals left are to explore outreach efforts between now and 2022 to increase participation in government, and to provide input to the City Council on the processes of determining district lines for future district elections. Also, whether the mayor's term should be 4 years. Now, in February of this year, the commission received a report on the upcoming district election process and the requirements to change from an at-large to a district-based election. At that meeting, the commission had several questions. They asked, you know, what would the timeline look like for the district election process? What information on the process would the commission, what would they be engaged in prior to the development of the draft maps? And they also spoke to the required public meetings and asked that when those meetings occur, if they can occur in the potential districts to the extent that they could. So although this is still too early to present an actual timeline, staff has provided a preliminary idea of the meetings based on election code 110. That's 10010. Election code says that before any map or maps of the boundaries for the proposed districts are drawn, the city must conduct two public hearings over a period of no more than 30 days, at which time the public is invited to provide input regarding the composition of said districts. Then, at least 7 days after publishing a draft map or maps, the city must hold at least two additional hearings over a period of no more than 45 days, at which the public is invited to provide input regarding the content of the draft maps. Staff has provided examples of those types of meetings on the tables in the report. Well, in advance, before these hearings take place, the city may begin to conduct the public outreach, this to include the non-English speaking communities. and to explain the districting process to encourage public participation. How we do that is we'll provide information in English and in Spanish through media, social media, public service announcements, and also to media organizations for city news coverage. We'll also include media organizations that serve language of minority communities. Staff anticipates that the commission will be active in the process in these ways. You could provide input to staff on local efforts to implement the County of Santa Barbara's 2020 census, complete count outreach a plan, provide ongoing input to staff on the timing of the districting process as issues develop, provide input to staff on outreach to the public, including the non-English speaking communities, to explain the Goleta 2021-2022 district drawing process to encourage public participation, and to attend the drawing workshops and the public hearings. After we go through all those processes, then the council will adopt the district map, and then the commission will be asked to explore outreach efforts to increase participation participation in the November 2022 district elections. So if you have any questions for me.
Any questions? Ms. Schneider, yes.
I'm a little confused about the role of the commission in this process, particularly with regard to our role in the creation of maps and what input we ourselves might have with regard to that process, whether or not we are attending the meetings and to what extent we're participating or making recommendations to City Council. It's not clear what the relationship is of the commission to the City Council in this description. And it's also not clear what the relationship of the commission is to the map drawing itself.
I'm going to attempt to answer the question, but okay. Ms. Schmidt, who has gone through this process,
yeah.
will know a lot more. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that throughout the process, we'll be coming back to the commission every couple of months, particularly when we get the vendor on board, the demographer, to help us through the process that'll provide the first education to us and to the commission and to the public of what's expected, you know, what roles you'll play. The commission, after obtaining that information, we'll get together, and then we're going to create the plan. What the plan that's on here, the table of meetings, is what's prescribed by the election code, but it doesn't mean that that's all that has to occur, so that we'll go ahead and meet with you after we get some information from the demographer. And then we'll create that plan with the commission's, you know, and then what the commission will do is they'll make a recommendation to the council via direction to staff and recommendation to the city council that the council will accept or amend or which have you, you know. And then this commission will continue its outreach effort all through the process. It starts with the census, though. Right. It starts with our public, you know, participating in the census.
I think that's an excellent summary. So it would be over the next year, we would be sort of finalizing what exactly this outreach and process, I mean, because the idea is to bring in the public to get their ideas. That's what the election code's asking for and you know, in the map drawing process. But we've got to design that process. And so I anticipate over the next year, we'll be working closely with you to say, okay, here's what the process looks like. Here's sort of the timing of the meetings, locations. I think you guys had some ideas. We'll talk to you about where the locations ought to be, how we educate the public about the criteria. There's some demographers out there who have some great materials and about, you know, how to draw districts and what's required, what's permissive. So we'll kind of come up with all of that. And then once we have a plan working with you, we'd get sort of your blessing for the plan and then take it with your recommendation to the city council and have them bless it. And then we go gangbusters on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do also
Can you hear me?
Okay. Actually, it's the other one.
Oh, the other one?
This one?
There you go.
Okay.
That's your light.
Yes. I'm thinking as I'm speaking, so I may not make a lot of sense, but I think talking about the non-English speaking communities, I think that before we can involve them in any sort of community meeting to talk about districts, I think it would be a great idea to start with a communication campaign with the Latino community that will target just questions about the census. And a lot of people within the Latino community and elsewhere, but since we're talking about the Latino community, do not understand exactly either the purpose or the workings of the census, and now people are afraid too.
Right.
So that I think that we need, before getting to the district part of anything, like a serious media campaign to inform people, to answer questions, to, you know, basically to get to those Spanish-speaking channels, whatever they are, to really involve people first, let them know what this is all about, if they're safe or not, or what have you. And then we can move towards the goal of the districts. But I think that's an important step before getting there.
Commissioner Rivek, thank you very much. We are engaging with the IVYP, who we've actually done a contract with to help us with our Spanish language outreach in Goleta. And they are very involved with the census complete count effort that's going on. It's a countywide effort to make sure that everyone in our county is counted. So they're very involved with that. And that is one of our first efforts with them as part of their outreach plan, is to involve them locally in Goleta in education about the census and helping people, like you said, feel safe. I know the Complete Count Committee is very much aware of that dynamic and concern, and brainstorming ways that we can reach those communities and have them feel safe about participating.
And is there a possibility for us as the commission, or one representative of the commission, to be involved with them, with this other
group? With the Complete Count Committee? Uh-huh. Well, as it happens, we have a member of the Complete Count Committee here on the commission. So, and we are. We're actually going to be bringing the next meeting, we will be talking about census. It'll be one of our discussion items about the census outreach efforts, including the county's efforts, but also local city efforts.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I was just thinking that one thing that we ought to start thinking about when we're doing this to get people interested in it, I would like to see people actually looking forward to the census and getting the information in. And the thing that people have told me is, I didn't know that they used it to see how much money the federal government was going to send us. I think we need to let them know what we get from doing that, and if we don't have a good count, how much we get cheated on, maybe just representation of a certain issue. And make it, show them why it's worthwhile, not that it's just something they have to do and it's a pain in the neck.
And yes, we don't want to get too deeply into debate on something that's not on the agenda, but we will definitely talk about that at the next meeting.
Great, thank you.
The only thing I can comment is that there's a lot of information already. There's a lot of organizations already currently involved in terms of that, trying to address everything that we spoke about tonight.
This may be premature, and you can tell me as much, but I'm very interested in the outcome of this process in terms of the 2022 elections. And it may go beyond the scope of the commission or not, but one of the presumed outcomes would be that there would be people in each district who would be running that more nearly represents the district and the district's
issues as well as representing Goleta as a whole. And part of what I'm interested in terms of process is the extent to which we or somebody is going to make it possible to do some of that education with people who might consider actually representing their districts and running for office. So to me, that's part of a process that I believe will need to happen in order to actually fulfill the sort of obligations and the mission of the districting process overall. And it's premature to have it in a plan, but maybe it's not in the long run. And I only hear, it's beyond the scope of this meeting agenda, but I really would actually like to hear from Christy about her experience watching Santa Barbara and the extent to which when you decide who has the elections, what happens to the people who are already there in terms of their terms, their ongoing terms, do they get to serve for 6 years or 2 years, do they run again? All of those sorts of things that are very confusing actually to people, sort of separate from the actual process of running for office, but in conjunction with it.
Yeah, it's a complicated process, so I can give you the whole rundown. But as far as to your particular question about how the city of Santa Barbara dealt with the staggered implementation, right, is that the first year that we had district elections, districts 1, 2, and 3 were elected by district, and districts 4, 5, and 6 continued to serve at large until the next election, right, and then those districts were elected by district. So it was just, that's how we did the implementation of that. And I've got all those answers. Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Then we move to item D, director's report.
So the one thing I did want to report on is that at last night's meeting, council took the final action to move toward evening meetings for all city council meetings. The council will hold closed session, so the official opening of the meeting will be at 4, but it will be only for closed session items, and then the public portion of the meeting will commence at 5:30 on Tuesdays, the first and same Tuesdays, the first and third Tuesday of the month. So that will be going into effect with the first meeting in October, which is on October 1st.
Great. Thank you. Any future agenda items?
Yes. So we have a number of items for the October meeting. Okay. We are going to introduce the new community relations manager, Kelly Hoover, who is starting with us next week. as we discussed, we'll have a census presentation from our own chair, Pedro Paz. We are going to have IVYP. Hopefully they'll be available to come to talk more about our partnership for Spanish engagement. And we'd also want to discuss the mayoral term of 2 or 4 years. And also at the October meeting, we will need to decide if we want to keep or cancel the December meeting. And if we do cancel it, then at that meeting, we'll have to decide the 6 meeting dates for 2020. Otherwise, we can push those meeting dates to December, but we anticipate at all future meetings will be more census updates. So we want to try to keep those as consistent.
When is the one in October?
So October 16th will be the next meeting. And then the December one is December 18th.
Mm-hmm. Closer to the holidays, folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Hearing no other items, I am going to call the meeting to adjourn. That's it.
Wow.
Thank you.
my face. I'm strictly a female, female, and my future I hope will be in the home of a brave and free male who'll enjoy being a guy, having a girl. We quarreled and we spat it from morning until night. We used to think it funny, but now it isn't quite. The laughs it was before. So if you'll open the door, I'll bother you no more.
My little chickadee, you may say that you're through with me. You'll have no more to do with me. You're all through with me and good day. But you'll find that love won't let you get away.
I'll find an area more remote than Bavaria.
I'll still get in the Harrier in Bavaria or Bombay. And you'll find that love won't let you get away.
It's Finny and done with.
Who will you have fun with?
You're no laughs to be
who
with.
Who you watch TV with?
You're no one to pine for.
Will you chill the wine
this
for?
This is toodaloo. We're through.
Just leave no trace at all. Hide your heart any place at all.
I won't miss your embrace at all, or that face at all, come what may.
Darling girl, I hope this won't upset you. But I'd like to bet you love won't let you get away.